なの。
Welcome to the Everyday Sniper. You got Frank from Sniper's Hood. And happy Eclipse Day. There's an eclipse today. That's like some bad luck shit, I think. I was supposed to go fly to Orlando today. There's like some stuff happening. And I'm kind of glad I didn't have to go to Orlando because that kind of seems scary to me. Like, although it's stupid, right? It's like we've had a million eclipses in our history, and all it is blocking the sun from another, and there's like warnings and this and that, and like, be careful. So if anything goes on, they psyoped us, and it's all that. I've been so dang busy. I did the podcast with Jacob with the Mike Lilly crap, which, oh my God, you guys got to listen to this. I'm just going to jump right in. I got a busy day, busy week, April 8th week. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I got class at the end of the week starting. But anyway, so I did the podcast with Jacob. You guys saw the Michael Lilly drama and everything. He was just being a fucking, he's an idiot. He's a narcissist and he has to be in charge. Well, right after he goes off on me and he does his stupid shit that he does, he goes down to Blakely to Arena. He goes down to Arena to shoot an NRL comp and he has three stages DQ'd. It's like thrown out, like. He didn't like them. One of the stages he had thrown out, listen to this, guys. This is the kind of Karens and candy asses that are out there. And this is the dude that wants to be in charge. Okay, he goes to this match. There is a 960-yard target. He complains and has the stage thrown out because on the website, the match director said there'll be targets to 900, not 960. What a idiot. But that's the kind of people you're dealing with out there. Go nomad, man. Go nomad. Don't get around these kind of guys. They're toxic motherfuckers. I'm telling you. So anyway, I did that podcast with Jacob and I got to know, don't do a podcast like that because it's the same one for both of us. And people want to hear two separate podcasts from me and Jacob. And it's pretty funny. They're like, hey, man, it's all cool and all, but like when you simulcast your podcasts, you know, I don't get it. And I got that. And then I went in, if you go look on YouTube and stuff, why I wasn't really talking myself as much for those, you know, 2-3 weeks there is I went on Eric Cortina's podcast, although that kind of messed up. My computer, for some reason, didn't like his system. And every 30 seconds, it would say it was full, or not 30 seconds, but 30 minutes. It would say it was full and kind of kick me off of his system. So there's a little disconnect in the Eric Cortina podcast, but I want to thank him for bringing me on and let me talk Gravity Ballistics with him. The Gravity Ballistics is getting a lot of attention, a ton of downloads. You know, it's just, it works, man. And oh my goodness, I'm going to get into this in a minute. But wind's coming. Like you've never, ever, ever seen the wind discussed before. We are adding the wind. Chris got it all sorted out. The craft easy win or quick win, however we're going to call it. It ain't going to be anymore where a guy says, grab a case of ammo and go out and shoot in the wind. And you're like, well, where do I start? I got a start. I got a middle. I got an end for you. Basically, Chris nailed the wind in a very similar way. We have Gravity Ballistics. So it's going to be that easy for you. I mean, it's crazy how simple he got it. And we're going to put it into the app. It's going to be gorgeous. They're already working on it. It's going to be fast. The app is going to have the wind soon. So anyway, last week, I got last Sunday or something. I don't even know what day it was. It was a weird out of the blue. So I get a text message from Tom Fuller from Armageddon Gear. And he's like, sends me this like screenshot, you know, image. And it's like a party invite imitation down the Armageddon Gear to Buena Vista, Georgia. And it's a pre-party for the International Sniper Competition. And I had some things. I was supposed to be in Orlando. So I was kind of like, I got so much going on. I'm supposed to be doing stuff. And he's like, man, do this. It's going to be fun. Nobody, you know, it's going to be really low key, no stress. Oh, I'm like, Tom, man, I got a busy week. I got class coming and this and that. And he's like, man, I'm going to do this. You stay with me. he puts icing on the cake with like extra candles for me. I'm like, all right, cool. So I fly down Wednesday, go to Armageddon Gear, International Sniper Comp. There's a pre-party, little, I don't know, a couple stages. It was like six or eight, maybe 10 stages, if that. And the international teams borrowed rifles. So the day before when I came up, I guess GA Precision, George over there, had sent over a bunch of loaner guns because none of the international teams bought their rifles with them, no work guns. And they weren't going to have this for the cadre, the U.S. people, only the international ones. So there was supposed to be a bunch of loaner guns. Loaner guns get all jammed up, and they're in Tennessee. So I come down, and Tom's like cobbling guns together from himself, six mils and six Creeds and a six GT. And so I help them zero up the guns. We dope out the rifles for people, so they got some basic dope on every rifle. So we gave them a dope card with every rifle. And luckily, those dope cards worked out really well. But yeah, we handed those out. Had a fantastic... It was like a picnic barbecue with like a pre-match. Like a little couple stages to get the, you know, the heart rate going and to move you guys around. And international teams are so great. Got to see the Danes again, the same guys from over at Major Land, the ones who borrowed Laura's rifle. So if you saw the Danes with the blue gun, they were there, had their rifles this time. They were doing some semis. Got to meet the Irish guys. Hi to all the Irish guys. They told me they had my book and all that. The Swedish guys attempted to help the French guys, but they didn't really speak English. They had one guy that translated a little bit, but ran into the French team and gave them a little couple tips and tricks. And then talking with all the Army cadre, because the Army, the Rangers and all those guys who are local to Tom acted as like ROs and liaisons for all these people. But just got to shake so many hands, meet people, hand out some gravity ballistic sheets to people, and just talk to everybody. I mean, it was a great 2 days down in Georgia. Flew home, and like I said, just needed to get ready for this week. So it's just been whirlwind. Chris and I are starting the class. So the Rifle Craft Snipers High classes are getting ready to kick off on Friday. We had guys out 2 weeks ago. Another reason you really didn't talk to, I didn't say much, but I had a couple guys out, Andrew and James and them, and they were proofing our course, right? So it's completely different now. It's prone tripod. We're looking at the world. I mean, in a similar way, if you look at like the Mark and Frank 3 day class, okay, so if I broke down a Mark and Frank 3 day class for you guys, you come in on Friday, we give you the safety brief, right? You're going to do the fundamental eval in the prone, 5 shots in the prone. Then you're going to come in and you're going to get about a 3 hour presentation, which brings us to like 1 o'clock. Then we go start our ground game at 1 o'clock, zeroing and moving out. Well, then on Saturday, we would dope rifles, right? So now you show up, we go straight to the line, and we're going to dope you out to 1,000 using the gravity ballistics. From there, we have drills that tie in to how you got your dope with the gravity ballistics, the drop stuff we look at, and there's a few other things that we'll do on that Saturday. And then Sunday, it's sort of like putting drills into place and getting things. Well, we also do some tripods and some little things, but you get like an hour of tripod. You know, you'll get a little bit of this, a little bit of comp, kind of like this is what a stage and a comp looks like. So a very basic prone class, right? With the third day giving you a taste of everything out there that guys are doing today, allow you pick a direction. Well, now with the Chris and Frank show, where it's going to go is you're going to come in Friday. I'm going to do an hour or so on the fundamentals, both prone and tripod classroom. Then you're going to come out and we're going to work those. And I have a pretty crazy, we talked about the full-size printer, which I have here, which fired up. But Chris and I got some cardboard IPSCs and stuff that we were practicing with. And, you know, backers, you need backer paper. So I'm using cardboard IPSC backer. And I've arranged the target and I have a model for my target now so that I can either use my large format printer or I can replicate it somewhere wherever I go, but basically takes you from the eval down to zero, over to tripod, craft drill, and then a couple other drills that we have with Chris. And the goal is to zero you and look at your prone and get you cleaned up. And we usually clean people up in an hour or two in that prone. And then it's just reinforcement, 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 right? We create clones relatively quickly. In Alaska's a two-day class, right? And in the first day, you're pretty good. And then by the second day, we're not fighting with you and you're doped out and everything's good. So the idea is to do that first day, do the fundamentals and get you through and move you from the top to the bottom of the page in doing our drills, both prone and tripod. Then the second day you're going to come in and I'm going to do the gravity ballistics in the wind. So I'll take over the gravity ballistics, your elevation. Chris is going to give you his wind. He simplified it to the next level. I mean, it is so easy that I have it written and the whole thing, and I'm not going to explain it over the podcast right now. I'm going to let him talk about it really that way. It's his baby. It's Craft Quick Wind, but it's hard to explain. It's just like, it does work linear. We did find a number and we're able to put sort of like the wind speed over your gun number in a fraction. And that creates a percentage for us, which is just saying, hey man, it's this percent, that go. And it's easy. You guys are really going to like it when we start really pushing that quick win. Again, it's going to tie in to the Gravity Ballistics app. So the Gravity Ballistics app is giving you elevation right now. We're incorporating the Craft Quick Wind, and that is going to give you wind. I mean, it's going to be so cool. Well, you'll be able to go, and if you don't know anything, I'm going to make it so you can go in and shoot a target and say it's a 600-yard target. We talk six all the time. Six a great spot for us. You're going to be able to go in and say 600-yard target. I measured this, this, and this, you know, but I don't know, but I'm measuring these things. Shoot the target, and you're going to tell the app, I used a 1.2 mil hold. App's going to say it's this, this, and this wind. And now you got it, and it's going to go, man. It's just going to be so awesome. But there's a couple other things we're going to do. You're going to be able to predict it. You're going to be able, we're calling it, in a way, a wind training tool. It'll dope the wind, don't get me wrong, but it's going to teach you the wind in a much easier way, just like gravity ballistics. And here's a good kind of a funny example from the gravity ballistics thing. So I'm running around showing everybody gravity ballistics at Armageddon Gear down there. And end of the day, it's all this. So I helped dope. So there was two guys with ARs. I helped them work out some information. They were like, they had ARs, but then they had like hunting scopes. So there's always this little bit of disconnect, cap turrets, held overs. So I got their two guys sorted out with ARs. Well, then one of the barbecue guy, the guy who cooked our food, had a Weatherby. Little bitty Weatherby guy, great little rifle, hunting rifle, of course, big Magnum. Couldn't find paper with it. They were trying to do something, I guess a couple months back before hunting season. Couldn't find paper with it, put it up. So Tom says, hey man, get that gun. Frank will give you a hand in all this thing. So this, right? I go and I pace count it out for 100 yards with him. And I know my pace counts. I pace counted him out. I had a election sign that Tom had kind of there, and I put a Hornaday sticker on it. I paced it out, put it down, had him shoot his rifle because it was a big old Magnum or something. I'll call it a 300 PRC, but I don't think it was a PRC because a PRC I probably would have shot. But it was something else like that. It was a pretty snappy caliber that I was like, that little gun, that little thing, I don't need to shoot it. Let him do it. But three rounds, I get him on paper. I bore sighted it first. I get him on paper three rounds, get him his 1 inch over and all that. And then there's a deer at like 740 and he wants to shoot that. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure. I look at his reticle. I'm like, all right, here, 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 and here. hold the line on his ass with the win. Guy second round hits it, center punches the thing right on the waterline. Great shot. Everybody's happy. So, you know, I have all these numbers running through my head. Well, I'm finished with these guys. And I walk over to where Tom and everybody is, and there's the Brit team, the snipers from the Brit team who won. Congrats to them. And they're shooting shotgun, and there's like a Voodoo 22. Well, one of the berms I had shot with them, it was a number 5 berm, but it was like 366 from where I was. But then I moved over to more in front of it a little bit. And so I'm like, hey, Tom, how far is that number 5 target? Or berm. I said, there's a target on the corner I want to shoot. And the target on the corner was only like 6x9. And he's like, oh, that's like 366. So it's 366 yards. So not a big target, right? I said, oh, I want to shoot it with your Voodoo, or, you know. And I go, what is that? He's like, blah, blah. I said, well, and then he goes, well, we can range. I said, no, I said, if it's 366, and I start doing mental math in my head, and I explain to him, with a 22, when it's zeroed here, if you do 100 yards with subsonic, that 100 yards is like a 500-yard shot, so your dope is pretty similar. You go to 200 yards, that's a 1,000-yard shot, so your 1,000-yard dope's really similar. You go to 400 yards, that's a mile shot, so that dope is also very similar to that mile. So he tells me it's 366. Now, we got crazy winds going on. It's 12-plus gusts. I mean, the winds kicked a lot of competitors' ass that day, and that was the big equalizer. So the wind's cruising pretty good. And I said, okay, 366, that's close to 4. 4 is a mile, 18's a mile. Drop it down to 16 because it's closer. So I take the, I put it to 16 mils. I hold a little bit much wind, and I take a shot. And the guy behind me in the spotter, now the target's a little skylined, and there's no berm really behind it because the angle, oh, that was the other thing. So when I get down to prone where Tom is, I can't see the berm. It's under, it's defilade, you know, I'm under. And so I go to shoot it kneeling. And he's like, no, I got this. So he brings out one of the tall ammo cans, like a, you know, like a Mark 19, big tall one. And then he gives me a game changer, which I turned on its side. So I was back to kind of that kneeling height. And I put the Voodoo on the game changer when it stood up tall. And so this, and I'm getting ready. So I go and I look at the wind and I go, okay, here, blah, blah, blah. And I do this and I got 16 dialed on the gun. I shoot the first shot and the guy behind me, the spotter, the Brit, he's like, oh, it looked like you went high right, like too much wind and it looked a little high, but I didn't catch the berm. So I said, okay, that makes sense. I drop it down to 15, lower my wind to about a mil. And second round, tag that target. Everybody's out of their mind. That dude's like, eyes get big. He's like, you just hit it. And I'm like, hell yeah. But that's kind of part of simplifying these numbers. It's like gravity ballistics when we talk about these simple multiplications, right? Well, explaining this to the guys out there for the first time, people have asked me with the app, you know, with a range card or with an odd number, like, how do I put in, I got a 560 target. How do I do that? Or, you know, maybe 580 because there's a 50 yard, a 580 target, right? So it's not 6, it's not 550, and there's a 550 in the app. But it's kind of in that gray zone for a lot of people. It's a tenth a mil per 10 yards. So if you have 550 dope and a 580 target, you add 3/10. Well, because of gravity ballistics, because of the way we're looking at these numbers, the way we're simplifying it and making it easier, I'm no longer defaulting to sort of a Kestrel or a ballistic calculator for these odd numbers. A lot of these plates can suffer maybe 4/5 of windage, but normally like 8/10 to a mil of elevation in some cases, right? So depending on the target, so going in and having these, you know, a tenth of a mil per 10 yards works really good and really fast and tends to hit pretty darn well. And I use this a lot for people rather than like, hold on, let me reference my charts, you know? So knowing your dope, like Mark has always preached, right? Know your home range dope. You can start to see the patterns appear. You can start to go, oh, that goes here. You know, the next number is this. I mean, it's just like saying when we do the drop chart, it's got to go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16, right? It's not going to go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 8, 12. It's not going to go back down to 8. You know that pattern's wrong. You know that number's not good. So that's where you want to go and focus on, you know, looking at these things and looking at them in a small way. We can count to 10. Nothing we're really asking you to do with these improvements we're making is any more than third grade math or counting to 9, actually. You know what I mean? Because you're counting between that 1 and 2 with like wind, right? So if I have a 6 mile an hour gun, it's like 7/10, 8/10, 9/10, 11/10, and then you're doubling it to 12, right? So 6 mile an hour gun, when you get to 12 miles an hour, it's going to be 12. You doubled it. In between, you're just going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's all you have to know is you can do that on one hand. So look at your dope, look at how it unfolds, and think about this gravity ballistics stuff. Because, I mean, I'm really, really working hard to simplify this. And it was great because like I was explaining it to some guys, and I had a little mini school circle down in Georgia. And Tom's sitting around there kind of over the shoulder and looking at it. He's like, dude, you reduced rocket science to third grade math. And it's like, yeah, because we really don't need the rocket science for what we're doing. I said, could you imagine, like, even with instead of going to somebody in a big army unit or in a unit like that and having to teach them this infinite amount of ballistics, if you shortcutted them to know their data and to know how that data interacts with the environment and not have to chase, you know, these crazy fucking numbers and why, it's like that stuff doesn't matter. It's like, oh my God, the books are so thick. They're like reading a VCR manual. And if we can simplify this, can you imagine taking it to a couple hour class instead of multiple days and having to go? I mean, sure, if you have a team leader, go send them to like a Hornaday or an Applied Ballistics and have them do a bigger ballistic class so that the unit retains like detailed information. But there's no reason every guy, you know, down there has to know infinite stuff that's just going to distract them. I mean, that's when people start to overthink it. That's when the mental mistakes come in, when you start second guessing things. Is it this or is it this? Do I need Spindrift or Coriolis? What am I, you know? It's like they throw these voodoos and bud words. And it was funny explaining it to some of the Army guys who had been to the military civilian courses, you know, like an A-First type thing or something like that, where they overcomplicate this stuff to make themselves sound smarter. And they even said that to me straight up, no filters. Like, I've been to that class. I've been to that class more than once. He talks voodoo and overcomplications. It's like, yeah, because he doesn't know any better and he's trying to make it seem like he knows something you don't. And really, it's simplistic. And what I tell people is I go back in time, right? I'm trying to go back in time to find out how grandpa did it or great-grandfathers, actually, because they didn't have access to data. They still killed a ton of animals. They still took care of their business during war. You know what I mean? They did what they had to do because they had their own shortcuts for the time. You know what I mean? They had their own stuff. Like, we have a rule of thumb today. They had a rule of thumb then. And so that's where, if I can go back and find that and see where their brain was, well, then we could start to work on, you know, simplifying things for us and making it easier, allows you to, you know, hack software, make it a little bit more user-friendly for you, less likely to make an input error or mistake, because we still see those input errors and mistakes that people make with ballistic calculators because they're overcomplicated, you know, and that becomes the issue. So that was a great time. I want to thank Tom, everybody at Armageddon Gear. I went down and got one of those wax canvas bino bags. The Vectronics should be coming any day. I got the really right stuff come here for it already. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming. And I'll be talking God, I got a couple things to talk to you guys about. The Vectronics and Really Right stuff will be on the way here. I have a Leopold Mark IV 6-24 that's going to be paired with a Gap production rifle in 6GT. I'm going to be doing a review of soon. Athlon has night vision scopes, sort of like Pulsar alternatives, almost $1,500, a couple bucks, almost $2,000 less. So we're going to be working the Athlon night vision scopes that came in from SHOT Show. So there's a lot of that. Night vision is coming down in price, coming much more affordable because you're seeing people push the thermal element more. And I got a whole bunch of thermals that came in here, lower end stuff. You know what I mean? I can go and grab the mega dollar, but I have the thermals that are less than sort of $5,000-$6,000. And I'm playing with those, you know, like the iRay stuff is really great. I had gotten a hold of the Ricks and ran into like one of the turrets stopped working. The menus aren't good. So now you're looking at where do you go with this night vision? And I will tell you, when you look at the better spec, like, okay, I want a 640. That's, you know, that's this pixel for me. Those are all pretty similar. Well, what I'm seeing from coming from the Chinese and then, you know, the conversions here, what companies fix those menus to give you plain language menus that make sense to us. When I was running a menu with the pictograph menu, it's a lot harder to deal with versus like iRay has that plain language menu that's super easy to deal with. So menus are what I'm seeing. And then the functions of zero and things like that are the difference in a lot of these units. And yeah, these smaller, least expensive units are coming up, but they're still really darn good. You know, they may drop back on some of the other technology a few years, but at less than 5,000, I mean, most of these units that are coming now are running right around 3,900, 4,000 bucks. That's a bargain if you want to get into that thermal, be able to go out there and hunt with it. And God, it just makes a great difference. So we're going to be playing with that a little bit more. But first, we're getting off our feet with the classes, making sure that that's all good. And we're in there. So a couple little pieces here. Talked to Mark yesterday. Good conversation with Mark. He was out in the mall's physical therapy. Apparently, they got snow again. So Mark's road to recovery, it's moving forward. He's all ready for Alaska for you guys. So he booked a 3-day or 3 courses in Alaska in July. He's going to dip his toes and they're full. We got Nebraska. He filled and he did one other one, Ohio or something, and he filled those. So Mark's going to be stepping in between. I left my window very light, very open so I can do this stuff with Chris, but fill in Mark without stepping on anything that way. So we will be repeating a few places. But like I said, most of those courses appear to be full according to him already. So get a hold of Mark if you want to do a Mark and Frank class. But if you want a Frank and Chris class, you can get a hold of me. Go on Snipers Hide in the training section. There's pinned locations. We will be adding some. The big one we're getting the most amount of discussion with right now coming up is the Cameo stuff. We are going back to Cameo. I mean, we love Cameo. We like working with it. I mean, that was the start of the whole thing. We were doing Cameo videos and some of those guys didn't like how flowery we were talking about it, but flowery, I can't even say that. But anyway, there are some Cameo possibilities for people. Just remember, Cameo, you want to kind of take as more of an advanced class. You want to have your dope established before you come because getting dope at Cameo is not as easy. We can make it happen, but it's a bit more frustrating when you add in angles and winds and distances and, you know, they're not KD targets over there. So make sure you have dope for Cameo. Also, to talk with the guys in August, the international comp that's going on in Cameo. We are opening our range up. Anybody that's going to shoot the international comp, we are going to have range days available. So you can come in, dope your rifles, check it. Like I said, man, getting dope at Cameo is not very easy. So if you want to go to Cameo to shoot a competition, that international one and think you're going to get your dope on the fly at, you know, 8,000-9,000 feet elevation, angles, winds, and unknown distance targets, you know, good on you. But over here on the front range, I have a, you know, KD course that you can dope your rifle and have Colorado dope with it. So get a hold of us if you want to come out prior to that international comp going on in Colorado. We will let you come in early, and we are going to work with you and do some neat stuff. So that's going on. Other things, God, there's so much stuff happening. I mean, this week is just blown up. I mean, there was a note yesterday. Phil had posted he's left Modern Day Sniper. That's going to come as a shock to some people. That's I talked to some of the parties over there, but I'm not going to get into that. That's on them. You know, it's just it's interesting when you see these things happen and how dynamics unfold. But Modern Day's going to move on. Phil's going to move on in his direction. And so best of luck to those two guys. I've been divorced, right? Jacob and I had a divorce. And so I understand that how that goes. And today Jacob and I are, you know, friendly and stuff. We made sure that we didn't try to burn each other too bad type of thing and stayed friends. And when you have that relationship, take a deep breath, step back. And I'm pretty sure both of them are doing that. So best luck to both of those guys. And I bet you a couple of years from now, they're going to bang into each other, shake hands, and it'll all be good. But we don't, you know, we're wishing the best for all parties involved. And like I said, there's a solid foundation under Modern Day. So I like what they do over there, and they have a bullpen of people they can draw from. Phil has plenty of opportunities in the industry. He's going to be able to chase down what he feels is best for him. So, yeah, I mean, you know, best of luck to both those guys, and unfortunate, but it happens, man. You know, it happens. It's a tough biz some days, and I've been through it. Other guys have been through it. So, you know, nothing, we survive and move on, but yeah, best wishes for them. But yesterday my phone blew up like next level when Phil posted on Facebook. I probably had, and I was like, why are you asking me? I'm not around. I didn't, even though I did kind of talk to some people, but it's like, well, what do I know about it? But that's not my business, man. Yeah, I'll give advice and you know, listen, but that's for those guys. But yeah, best of luck, and we'll see what goes out for there. Crazy times. The high TV stuff. Since this ties in, kind of like where training is, right? It's like a training discussion here. We got the high TV. There are videos now. We got myself, Sniper's Hide is up there, and there's lessons from Sniper's Hide on High TV. Riflecraft, he has his stuff up there, and we're moving in CR2 stuff. So there's CR2 videos up there as well. We are loading videos and content into High TV. There are purchasable lessons. And the High TV is that in the palm of your hand. It's a training app. There's a mentorship program. There's video. You can go one-on-one. You can go self-taught. So you could buy a block of lessons and do them at your time with some quizzes and things. Or you can watch the videos. But the High TV is starting to come up pretty good. And we just need to now promote it, get people out there to use it. It really does. All Sniper's Hide videos are lessons, not just me, but Riflecraft and CR2 in the palm of your hand in one place. You go into the app, you hit the High TV. There's a nice little menu up there with all kinds of little things you can go look into. And then, like I said, watch some videos. Even some of the video stuff, when I upload it, they get uploaded like a live. So if I like the cameo videos, I went and edited up one of the couple cameo videos. When I upload them to the High TV, they display as a live. So if you see that little red live glowing at the bottom of your app, you can pop right into it and just watch the video as it's kind of uploading. You know, if it's a 5-minute video, it's live for 5 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. Like, hey, this video's here now. And so that's what it's going. So we're adding a bunch of that. Chris and I have a bunch of lessons and things put together. We're going to start working on. We'll get the podcast this week. He's like I said, we had a side hustle. We were supposed to, there's a little side project we're doing, and it kind of kicked into gear, and we had a bunch of meetings. Like I said, we were supposed to go to Orlando with it, but luckily we dodged that bullet. And, you know, with the eclipse and their craziness, I don't want to be flying today. Who knows what the heck weirdness is going on. But I would have. But anyway, we're still doing that virtual project we're working on. So a little bit is that distraction of us taking meetings, meeting with people, conference call, coordinating technologies and things like that. And so that was part of my distraction. So apologies for that, for them, not the podcast. But I saw it as I did Jacob's podcast and then did it to here. I did Eric Cortina's podcast and put it on the Hive. I'm like, well, I'm still talking. I just didn't talk on Everyday Sniper. I was like, oh, shit, you know. But anyway, it's there, it's here, and I'll get you guys back in the groove now. As I said, with Chris and all that, we've reached a nice spot with all the projects coming out. And then this week with the class, we'll be able to not only one day this week, I'll do a podcast with Chris because I have a couple things we need to talk about. And then soon after the class, like Monday, we'll do an AAR podcast. And so I get back on a schedule now that I'm not traveling as much, and I dodged a few travel tip deals there. But yeah, it's just been crazy, crazy busy, you know. But the content's flowing. I don't know if you guys been around. It was funny. The Michael Lilly stuff actually created a nice little buzz. It's like the dude's such an idiot. It's so I like, you know, I started using my Rumble channel, and Rumble is really like, if you're not politics on Rumble, Rumble is not great. I'm still see better views on YouTube. So if I put my video up, even with comments and everything turned off on my YouTube channel, if I put a video up, it'll get that 2,500 views in like a day. Well, Rumble was like 250. You know, you'd only get like 250 views in that day or whatever, and sometimes even longer. Well, now it's like 1,200 to 1,000 in the day. So it's like four times bigger just from the attention he gave me, that channel, because I use that channel to say, hey, idiot, here's a video of something that you're not doing. Hey, idiot, here's a video of something you're not doing. And then people looking at that content, really getting really positive stuff out of it, and then watching them and watching them and watching them. And so we're seeing our views go through, and we still have, I would probably say, a minimum of four more Cameo videos that need to be edited and done, but there's probably four more lessons out of the Cameos. Plus, we're still filming other things. I put a follow-through Rifle Works video up last week on the 308. I don't know if I talked to you guys about, yeah, I did. The surgeon actions I had in that came in. So, right, a bunch of surgeons came in, and I kept some of them. And then, a few guys grabbed a few surgeons and were building builds on the, you know, the 591s and stuff. Well, one went to TAC Ops, which I'm going to get Mike on, man. Especially with this rifle, and I haven't shot it yet, and he's been killing me because I hadn't shot it yet. But you guys saw the Terry Cross TAC Ops crossover rifle with the Terry Cross is stock. Mike built mine on the surgeon. And so, I mean, it just looks so amazing. It got so much attention. But the TAC Ops KMW 308, I'm getting ready to do it. But before I did a Garrison Pratt follow-through 308, he did a surgeon barreled action for me. I had my A5 surgeon that actually Terry Cross bedded here, and I swapped out that surgeon for this surgeon. Man, this rifle is such a hammer. And the crazy thing is, like, it loves 185 Burger, like the factory yellow, you know, the Bumblebee box, the yellow and black. So I grabbed some of those from Mile High, grabbed the 175. The 175s are great. When you look at that video, I was phoning that shit in to zero it, and I was moving it around a little bit. But, like, I was like, okay, that's good enough. And I just wanted to get on paper with the 175s. I wasn't grouping them. I should have gone back and grouped them. I didn't. I just basically, I don't want to waste the money with the 185s. I did the 175s, got it in a pretty good spot, and then said, let me see what the 185s will do. And they just hammered in that first group. It was, you know, sub half minute. And so then I just kind of was like, done. And that was that. But oh man, on steel. Now understand, this is kind of cool. We had 600-yard target. Again, I guess like around a 10 to 12 mile an hour wind. That's pretty typical for us on the front range, is that 12. It likes 12 a lot. And I'm shooting 600, and I'm like, I was 6/10 different in the wind, I want to say. It's between 6 and 9/10 maybe, but I know 6/10 for a fact. The 175s at 600 and the 185s were a minimum of 6/10 off of each other. So that's a huge wind gain if you think about that, and something to consider for you 308 guys who are still loving the 308 like that. Switching from the 175 to the 185, oh, gotta love it. And if you're a hand loader, 46 grains at 2,000 MR, 2.830, woohoo, it's a nice little load. Your results may vary, but changing up the powders a little bit, I get 2,700 feet per second out of the 20-inch gun with the 185s with the 2,000 MR. No pressure signs, 48 is max, I'm on 46. So it's good stuff there to revisit the 308s. And, you know, kind of with Chris's wind and what we're doing and to demo it, both of us have kind of jumped back a little bit to 308s because it exaggerates it a little bit. It, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to show you what I'm doing. It's like 3/10 hold. It's like, ah, shit, 3/10. But instead, if you do a 9/10 hold, then you really see it, you know. So to me, the 308 helps demonstrate this. But also, if we can increase our success rate with that slower, that's a bonus, right? So that's kind of where we're going with the training, with the working. But we're solving problems here. We're trying to make people better shooters. We're putting out content when we can. And we're just, you know, working to get it done for everybody. The weather's changing. You know, we had these crazy winds and stuff. Well, it was 30 miles an hour last night. But the weather's turning better for us. I mean, we had the big snow. I had to move everybody in the class to this April class because that March one, we got the foot of snow. It was crazy. And so now we should be past all that. So it should make things a lot better for everybody. And you'll see, we're going to start putting out some more training content and some more things like that. But Chris's wind, like I said, I have it. I could read it to you because we're breaking it down, but it's going to be something that changes the way people look at. They're all going to be talking, you know, quick win pretty soon and doing it that way because it's just so simplistic. But definitely looking forward to that kind of stuff, man. All right. I think that's what I got for now. I got such a busy day. I got to go add some things in. Let me think. What else did I miss? Anything? Did I miss anything, guys? I don't know. I can't think of it for right now. But go over to Sniper Side, ask the questions in the Everyday Sniper. Use the app. Your comments in the app, I'm seeing them. I'm reading them. I can go in and answer those comments in the Podbean app if you're going to put them there. Works just the same for me. It's on my phone, just as easy for me to go in and get you those comments and stuff. But apologies for, you know, running all over the place, but we are solving this precision rifle problem for everybody. Oh, speaking of that, I do have some updates. We are putting out a heck of a lot more content on the front page of Sniper's Hide in the terms of articles. So there's articles that are mixed in with some video. There's articles that are just telling you to think about stuff. You got Big Jim Fish's articles. He has one on levels, different scopes, things like that. So the front page of Sniper's Hide, articles are flowing. We've been doing a lot of marksmanship, a lot of ballistics articles, things going. Everything we talk about, there's been an article of some kind. So if you want evergreen content, if you want it written down, if you want, hey, what did he say about that at that time? It's probably in one of those articles. And what I generally do, just because the system likes it a lot, is you'll see kind of links all throughout those articles. Those links usually go back to previous articles that are related. You know, so if we're talking about one content or concept, we'll go back to that similar concept and they link to each other. So it's a nice big circle that you can get your information. But that's what we're doing, man. We're putting information out for you guys, make you better shooters, answer some of the questions, cut through some of the BS, and go out and get it done. I mean, like I said, we're just making it happen. And, you know, again, great week. Thanks to Tom and his hospitality down there. Thanks to all his employees and everybody. They came out, went in and got a factory tour of Armageddon. I'd never been there before. And so I went in and got a factory tour in the, you know, all over, picked up some products when I was there, you know, and then came home and was fully expecting to be on an airplane today. And that didn't happen, which was good. But yeah, now we're ready to go to work, and we will see our students on Friday at the Maverick gas station, exit 80 off of I-76. So we will be out there 8 o'clock. I'll pick you guys up and bring you to the range the first day, and we will get on it. I think we got a good program for you. Brand new PowerPoint. Gonna give it to you in a little bit different. So our presentation, do it. Our presentation, do it. Third day, no presentation. We're just gonna go out and have fun. But we're taking you from a what was a prone course to a prone tripod course. We're going to endeavor to give you the tools on the tripod side every bit as what we did on the prone side. So that's the direction we're going. Got a great program for you guys, and we look forward to seeing everybody. We look forward to the start of the season. You know, this is the start of our training season, and I'm really excited for it because there's a lot of changes. So, you know, we'll get Mark back out on the street and see how he's doing. We'll do some new stuff with Chris, and then, you know, we'll just bounce around the planet and find these different locales and see how things change up our shots. Cool? All right, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Looking forward to seeing you on the firing line in the future. Head over to Sniper's Hide. Check out Hide TV. Download Gravity Ballistics. You won't regret it. It's going to come with the quick wind. And when that happens, next level. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.